All right, we're hot. Buttons pushed. There we go. Podcast from Italy. I'm Jason. That's Ashley sitting across from me.
Ciao.
It is the 10th of May. It is go time. A very rare evening podcast.
Whoa, it's late.
It's late. It's 7:30 in the evening on a drizzly, warm spring, beautiful spring evening here in the Italian countryside. We are bringing the energy. We're bringing the funk.
Tennis on Tuesdays.
Tennis on Tuesdays.
All right. We're doing the podcast at night and in the rain because we can't do the outside projects since it's raining. And we've gotten a good jump on the inside ones for today and calling
it
an early
night. Let's be honest.
This
is a procrastination. which is hysterical because today is the 10th and we do not have the time to... Procrastination time is over. We sat on our...
I love it.
I love the pressure.
Every February, we say, "Oh, we should get on it," so we're not rushing at the end. Now, if we have like the whole house to paint, when we've done that, we do that.
Those projects,
those big projects, we're not retarded.
But flipping the house, like flipping it from winter to spring,
exactly, and just some of the touch-up paint and stuff that could have been done in February, was it? No.
So not so secretly.
We just got fatter.
We must really like the pressure.
I was talking to my girlfriend and she was like, listen, you guys have been doing this for so long. You do this all the time. You must thrive on it. And it was such an interesting word to use. And when I said it to Jason, he kind of lit up and was like, I think she's right.
I like it. I like that because
we need the pressure.
It's hard for me to have the same drive. It's not like we sat on our asses, actually did nothing, but you just don't have that motivation in February that you do in May, that there's no deadline. There's always tomorrow in February.
Mm-hmm. There's always May.
Now there's no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. It has to be done today.
We have intern stage, a guy coming to stay with us. We'll talk more about it later for a few months. And it's hilarious. I'm sure his parents are listening. Ciao, Paul and Renato. We keep saying, what about this project? What about that project? My just response is always totally... That's a great one for Josh to do. That's a Josh project.
It's like, Ashley, how many things do you think this kid's going to just come here and do and wave a wand? It's like, no.
Now it's just become my default answer for everything. I love Josh do it.
Josh.
Poor kid. Oh, my God. Anyway, what has been going on, though? We have to say a huge... At the top of the podcast, thank you.
You know who you are.
Yeah. To all of you guys who responded to our super boring last podcast request about getting the internet throughout the house.
The internet, the system is figured out. The parts are, we have about.
So tell the people who actually cared and responded, what system did you go with?
Deco. Because
there was a lot of suggestions to do power line versus the coax.
I didn't do the power. We did the Deco system.
We didn't trust the power line. Our power.
I just didn't want to mess with it. The coax works. So I talked about this in the last podcast. Real quick. We have TV, satellite, coax throughout the entire house. It's all wired. There's multiple jacks in the apartment.
I got to back it up. Set the stage if someone's new. We live in a super old, 300-year-old plus stone farmhouse.
All stone walls.
With walls that are
thick.
Incredibly thick.
Very, very thick at the bottom, and then they get a little bit thinner. But still, Wi-Fi doesn't love to pass through it at all. So in the really dead spots, we've used these MOPR adapter. Thank you. It takes the signal from the DSL and turns it into and puts it over the TV/satellite wire. And then in the rooms, you have another one of these adapters, and then it turns it back into the regular signal, so you could plug it into the mesh systems. Yeah, even for an idiot like me, I thought we were going to have to figure out subnet masks
DNS.
And all DNS servers and all that.
Jesus
no,
Christ.
Plug and play, super
this was
awesome,
incredible.
Thank you very much. It's
Elon Musk and the internet so much faster.
Oh, man.
Oh my God,
Starlink's awesome. I'm in
so
love.
It's all coming together. That's I feel like our quietly big upgrade for the guests is now the point was so. In every bed, you could get internet.
You could get internet.
And that was not ever the case.
No. Or if you did have it in your bed.
You were somehow lucky.
You were lucky and it was not usable. Not with when everyone's here. So that's taken care of. Spring is here. The last week was beautiful. This week's a little rainy, but we need the rain anyway.
I like it.
Gardens ready. My rows are in. I've planted potatoes.
God, he's chomping at the bit.
Man. I've planted potatoes. The fava beans are flowering. We've planted some onions. We planted corn the other day. Ashley's got all her little stuff planted, like the radishes and the lettuces and all
and
that
I
stuff.
And I planted yesterday carrots and beets before the rain.
Carrots, beets, radishes are in. And we're just waiting for probably the second half of the month, and then the bulk of everything. The greenhouse is full, and I can't wait to stop having to.
And the pigs are getting fatter and fatter. Yeah. How do we weigh them? How do you figure that out?
Most
to like adjust their feed.
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, what's his name? Roberto. He has a pig scale. He's got a scale that you off the back of their stall that you guide them into. And
we don't have one of those.
No, we do not. Whatever. They're bigger. We'll just keep upping the dosage.
They're fun.
They're really, really not that big of a deal. They poop in one spot, which is great. So you can clean it up really easy. I'm going to try to compost it. We'll see. Pig poops is real hot, hot in. How would you explain hot?
Not acidic.
No, it burns. You have to like really break it down. You have to really compost it. So that's another one for Josh. Josh is going to get to pick up all the pig shit and put it into a pile at the bottom of the garden.
It's so much fun just saying Josh will do it. Oh my gosh.
Other than that, we're...
With all of the spring cleaning and getting all these projects done, a huge thing that we did... Sometimes you have to think outside the box. We're always struggling with storage here in this house. There's not a single closet. We took an outdoor bathroom and made it. There was two bathrooms. We made one into a storage area. We've taken the downstairs apartment, ground floor apartment, and turned that into storage areas.
Oh yeah,
Josh's
room. Happy room. The front part of your room is storage and the washing machine. There you go, bud.
But the bed will be good.
I've built a couple of things.
And you'll have a great shower. And so we were always talking about building a barn or getting a cargo container or doing a shed, something.
Well,
but
I built two sheds.
Yes, but not for like everything.
No, that's for like lawnmowers and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And so then because we always think with this crazy Texas brain, even though neither one of us are from there, like it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden this like shed turns into a $50,000 barn.
If you're lucky, it was 50 grand. My thing turned into half a giant, giant barn. The first half.
Wait, back into the woods where we have to like build part of a road or fix part of a road.
The front half was going to be for the animals and the hay and all that stuff. And the back half was going to be like a shop and a tractor. And then I wanted another milking station. I want three phase 400 volt electricity pulled there.
But because of where it's located in a really great secluded spot behind the house that no one ever, it's this great spot, totally flat. Tucked away, but it would also mean we need like a little four wheeler to like get back and forth.
Yeah, you would have to have some kind of vehicle.
So it keeps adding up.
Oh, the money pit would be amazing.
So then one morning we were procrastinating and talking about this and just going, oh, what are we going to do? And,
this was in like February, March.
This was in like March.
Yeah. Because we were screwed. We had nowhere to put, we really don't have anywhere to flip everything from winter to, we just kind of pile it up in our place. Anyway, long story short, we are now living this sweet, sweet, sweet warehouse life. Ashley.
So I was tasked with finding storage and oh my gosh, I went and talked to everyone around. Just if you're living in Italy and you need storage and you're in a rural place like we are and there's no, you know, just if we just had a used storage space, that's what we were talking about all of a sudden. And some people have garages that they rent out. Some people have extra space. You never know. So I was asking a bunch of people and finally we were remembering the old mechanics shop that he had closed up years ago, but no one had moved in. So I drove up to it. Sure enough, there's a phone number and I call and I couldn't believe it because someone answered. And not only did he answer, but he said he could meet me that afternoon. And I was just like, this is unbelievable. Well, I was trying to play hardball, but I showed my hands right away because I was like, well, you might not be in a hurry, but I am.
Ashley opened up her negotiating with, I am extremely desperate.
Yeah. So I threw all my cards. Then I wanted to play hardball.
I want a discount.
Yeah, then I wanted to negotiate. We worked out a deal, and so we have a chunk of space in what was like the back whole area of this big warehouse. So for all of the equipment and garage stuff can go in there. And then we have the whole office, a big like 6 meter by 6 meter or so space that is totally sealed off to put all like the winter clothes, Christmas decorations, all that shit. So it's finally, awesome. Oh my God.
Let's talk about sliding that.
Wait a second too. He said, just make sure there's nothing of too much value in here. And I said, whoa. We got baseball cards. I don't know if anyone should know about it.
There's something about sliding that big accordion door open, driving your car into the building, the smooth concrete floor.
I cleaned the office space. It wasn't terrible. It had already been like painted and stuff. I just needed to do cobwebs and scrub the floor and that kind of thing. But I had the music playing and I was just by myself in the warehouse. I was getting to know the other warehouse guys on the other side, putting out the vibe. Like, hey, what's going on? What do you got in your warehouse? I love the smell. Both of my grandpas had garages.
It's a mix of diesel fuel, oil, and like dust and dirt.
Both of my grandpas had gas stations and garages and workshops like this. It's so the greasy, oily. I love it. I could live in a warehouse. Not one of those, but I dig it. I'm loving it.
If you're stuck on storage, go down to the industrial zone. Maybe
that
check
was the other
out,
thing.
Maybe
I looked
check
at the
out
industrial
the,
zone. Mm-hmm.
Check out a warehouse.
You never know who's got space to share. That was it. He just
humble brag.
Yep. So living that high life, that warehouse life. Other stuff going on. You were doing the project with the sinks, thinking this would be a simple
€3
per sink project.
So
kind of thing.
The drains in the sinks in some of the apartments, the chromed part starts to kind of like the chrome starts chipping off. It just kind of starts looking dingy and old. So I was like, oh, that's an easy fix. I'll just unscrew the bottom part and throw new ones on and put it back on. Holy shit. No one's touched these pipes. And
he comes downstairs after working out, and he goes, hey, Ash, is this normal?
The pipes disintegrate. So, when I go to every single pipe is hardened from calcium. So, you have to, decalcify each joint and get them off. And then once I do get them off, the parts of the pipes are just on the inside are just the metal is disintegrating into nothingness. So,
Even corroded, or is that just
it's corrosion
from all of the minerals?
We have super hard water. Mm-hmm. So basically, anytime I go to touch a shower, a bath, a bidet, or a sink, I have to change everything except the porcelain.
I know, because this was supposed to be just a couple buck fix of some little touches that just
the inlet valves, the little flexible tubes, all the joints to make everything, the U joint or the whatever the what do you call the U part?
The P tube?
No, P trap. No.
Oh,
it's
no.
The part where if you drop your ring down, you'll find it.
Yep. Everyone at home is shouting it out.
Exactly. Probably that part just all corroded. It's like
to the wall.
From the inlet valve. From the wall valves.
So that's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun stuff too.
Good times.
Uh huh.
Good times.
So that is actually lesson learned for anyone listening that we don't ever obviously do ourselves, but. That is the danger of waiting till the last minute to do projects and shit. Because we know we can get shit done because we've done it year after year.
If it's just cleaning and setting up and arranging.
And painting and a few projects, okay. But
if
when you start
snags,
digging, and that's the thing. You thought it's just a little simple drain cover replacement. And then it's like, oh my God, don't touch another goddamn
There are two. There are two that are really bad that I'll change, and after that, I can't redo the sinks in all the rooms.
It is like don't lift the skirt,
no.
Or what is that called? But look behind the curtain, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, these old houses.
Oh, another interesting find after all these years. I found out yesterday.
Oh my God, this is hilarious.
I never called
16 years in the house.
Has it been 16 years?
Yeah, yeah. Remember, keep in mind. Go ahead.
Finally called an electrician. My convection oven just crapped out. It's not worth fixing. So,
well, we put it through the
ringer. We got our money's worth. It's time for a new convection oven. Anyway, so I'm looking at different convection ovens, and I'm realizing that the draw for a professional oven, obviously, is not made for a home environment. It just draws too much power. You need its own circuit and everything. So I finally call an electrician out to talk about the actual power draw coming here. Come to find out, I have three-phase power in the panel in the kitchen and in the panel underneath the outdoor kitchen.
This discovery in year 16 has actually saved us tons of money because throughout the years, Jason will go, if only we had three-phase, I'd get this super hardcore thing. And now I think, oh, my God, it's been here the whole time.
If only we had three-phase, because all the more real, powerful, not even industrial, but professional equipment, whether it be for woodworking or the kitchen or anything that has a real motor in it is three-phase. Here it's three-phase 400 volt. It might be three-phase 2 something in North America. I got it. I've got it.
Well, hilarious, just like the septic tank issues, some of them we had with our landlord's brother, Alessandro, being so 100% certain about everything that he was then wrong about. He was the one who was 100% certain and told us on day one, no, we've set it up, but we never pulled the line. There's no three phase. But it's there if you ever want it.
I would see it on our bill. It would say three. It would say in Italian the equivalent of three-phase 400 volt, and showing that we didn't take any of it, but showing that we did have it here, which I don't understand how it works. The electrician was talking to me about how the three-phase comes in and then they separate the phases and make it into single phase at the main box. Okay, whatever. I don't understand that. All I know is that he said it's not a problem to take all three of the wires and run it to an industrial plug for a real oven.
Hot damn, we're cooking now.
Hot damn.
Yep.
So we're looking at vapor combi ovens. We're getting into here's another. Jesus Christ. So in order to get any kind of vapor in an, does anyone care about this?
I don't know. Go for it for a minute.
Okay. You want to go get an oven. You want to get this professional piece of equipment, but it's not just buying the piece of equipment, because now you have to hire an electrician to put in the correct plug and line. Okay, that's one thing. Then you find out, oh, well, it's a mixed vapor, steam, and convection oven. Great. That's awesome. I have water and a drain right next to where it's going to go. However, the water needs to be purified. It can't have any calcium. It can't have any even particulates in it, nothing, because it'll build up inside of the boiler of the oven and break it. In fact, if you do not have this super expensive reverse osmosis filter, then your warranty is voided for the oven.
So the reverse osmosis filter is like $1,200 or something?
Just for this oven.
And so then Jason was like, well, if we're going to do that, shouldn't we get it for the whole house? And then it's like, well, wait, I was just going to buy an oven this weekend. Now I've got to research
filtration system for the house first. From getting a replacement normal 220 volt regular oven to three phase and putting reverse osmosis in the house.
This is the Texas mentality I'm talking about.
So none of that's going to happen. We're way too far. I said, no, this is getting out of control. I just ordered a regular oven to replace it, and we'll put something in fun at another time.
Speaking of fun, we have a new menu item added to our desserts, and it's called gelato.
Wow!
We finally got ourselves a gelato machine.
I'm practicing. I'm doing the different bases, learning all about the bases of gelato, not like the store-bought bases, but there are basically for two white bases for gelato, one with milk and one with more like a custard. And there are certain things you have to add to this base that makes it so that the gelato stays creamy in your mouth, and that when it, as it comes from the freezer, it doesn't go from a solid block to a pool of milk and cream. It's not a stabilizer, but you can get things like dextrose, which sounds like a chemical, but it's not. It's a sugar derivative that allows you to make the gelato colder so it can be creamier and softer.
Powdered milk,
which will absorb some of the water that's in the...
Like fruits or other things?
Anything. The milk and the fruits, because water will make crystals, so the powdered milk grabs onto the water that's free in there. Also, things like carob. Do you remember carob? Those disgusting chips.
That was like hippie chocolate.
The hippie chocolate. Yeah. So carob seed.
I grew up in Ballard in Seattle. Carob.
Oh, carob. You'd think it's chocolate, and then you'd be like, what?
You're like, oh. That's disappointing.
Carob flour or guar gum, guar seed flour. These two things also are used in gelato making that are totally natural that also make get some of the water out of it. There's a couple of other things, but you can absolutely just make it with milk, cream, sugar, and flavor. However, if you want to keep it in the freezer and you don't want it to be an icy mess, or you want it to be scoopable and not... Here's what happens. The outside starts defrosting first, and it gets all soft, and the inside stays rock hard, and you can't scoop it. And it just starts spinning in its container. So if you put some of these additives in there... Well, we'll call them additives. Ingredients. They're not really artificial. It helps with the mouthfeel and the texture.
Well, we are very lucky because some of our dearest friends are Paula and Antonio from
Maquis
in Fano, and we've talked about them a million times. But thankfully, we can ask them a million questions and stuff too, or get some hints and tips and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm making tiny amounts. They make it on a more of a...
Oh, there's no competition.
No. Not at all.
We don't even serve guests to outside dinner to outside guests.
No, but I find this very interesting, just like bread baking, because it's the
same thing. I know you do. I can tell.
It's a formula. It's the fats and the sugars and the water.
And getting the balance
of all of them. And you set it up the same way with a table, just like you set up bread in a table and you fill in your ingredients. I think I could get into it. Because you can bake bread. I cannot do bread in the summer.
No.
It's too hot.
Also, we just need another...
We need another oven. We need a deck oven.
There you go. God, oh my God. Oh. Any other things going around on around here?
Let's see. Oh, big news in town. They finished one side of the bridge that they're repairing.
That goddamn bridge.
And they've switched to the other lane, so we're getting closer. They said June, and I think that they're probably right. One stoplight has thrown everyone's world into an absolute goddamn chaos.
Tough times in small town Italy, I'll tell you that.
Other things. Oh, yes. So we go on walks with this beast of a dog every morning. And I like the early morning walks because I am a morning person. So I want to get up and go. And especially as it gets warmer and warmer in the mornings, no one wants to walk at 9 o'clock because the heat of the day is already there.
No, you guys are out of here by 6:37.
Not 7:45. Seven's late. It's going to be in the fives once the heat of the summer comes. Anyway,
poor Leroy. He has no idea.
Anyway, the other day we were going and I saw we talked about it on the podcast now. The porcupine who was out late partying and the sun was just coming up and he was still out like sniffing around. And I saw him on the other side of bridge, maybe 100 meters away, like over in the side, how they do their porcupine thing. So I went, okay, let's walk the other way. I don't want to screw with a porcupine. But it got me thinking about animals, how many animals we've seen over the years.
Or wild animal encounters.
Wild animal encounters. Now that we have a dog and we're going to, he sniffs
out
animals.
I'm always nervous about the boar first thing in the morning if I take the early morning walk. Because we'll go in deep into the woods, or he'll go and check out places where they go and root. And then, or one time it was like fresh tracks of mud. And I was like, oh my God, I kept making crazy noises in the woods.
I'm not worried about boar. I'm more worried about things like porcupines and snakes.
Oh.
For him. For the dog.
Well, I thought it'd be fun to tell some of our hilarious past wild animal encounters. So,
Should I start off?
Sure.
Okay. The very first one I can remember is the barking male roe deer.
Yeah.
The very first spring we were here, the male...
Like, that was even earlier.
No, it's spring. They don't bark in winter. They bark like now. They've just started again. They do this really...
I can do it.
Do it.
What about the mic?
Well, just don't hold it up. That's exactly it. Oh, his head perked up. So they're
you're welcome, folks.
They're looking for their lady friends, and they'll do this at dusk and dawn all the time. And it sounds, since they're up higher above the house in the hills a little bit, sounds
they're
like they're
close.
It sounds like they're right next to you because there's nothing. The dog goes absolutely apeshit. But that first spring we were here, we would sit up at night because there was no TV, there was no internet, there was nothing here, just listening to that, thinking, what the hell is that? What is dying? What is being killed?
We had old northern exposure.
That's right.
That was the only DVD set we had in, like, Arrested Development. Oh, my gosh. And we thought, is something dying out there? What is going on? And I remember a similar story with a guest who was a real douchebag. He was by himself. And he came on a motorcycle and he went up to the woods and was going to ride his motorcycle up into the top of this hill. But it was not a motocross motorbike. It was
for the road.
It's for the road. And I thought, what the hell is this guy doing? Anyway, so he went up there and he comes back and he was like telling me about the bike and struggling getting it up the hill. And then he thought he was going to have to wrestle a boar because he heard him making all this noise. And I said, did it sound like this? And I did the deer bark. And he goes, that was exactly it. And I said, oh, that was no boar. That was a deer looking to mate with you. But it just is so loud. It sounds so close. But the deer, that was definitely the first one. Also because I remember that we were so scared our first winter here that we were terrified that we were going to get like, just like in all those stupid scary movies, it starts with dumb young people in the woods from the city, and that was us with my sister here too. And we'd be nervous to go outside and think there was gonna be some psycho killer or something, and like coming out of the woods, some Jason thing. And then finally Jason was like, oh no, it would be an animal that's going to attack you. There's no one out here. And then we were like, oh shit, there's the animals. But they're not always terribly scary. But we had the fox that lived in our house.
I woke up this one morning, 4 o'clock, to go use the bathroom, go pee, and I go into the bathroom and standing on the toilet because it was hot, it was the summer, we leave the bathroom window open, which is on the ground floor, is a fox.
Occupado.
Occupado.
Jason comes upstairs.
I just turn around and just walk out.
Because there's a toilet, or there's a fox on the toilet. We then discovered that this fox had been living in our place underneath a dresser, and we just thought it was one of the cats. It would come in through the window at night and we'd hear like the hissing, but we thought it was just, we've got a bunch of cats, and we thought, who knows, I don't know, they're not getting along. Oh no, it was a baby fox living in there. And then Jason really went to go after it with a bat. And I was like, what the hell are you going to do? He took off, but I thought it was the most hilarious thing. What are you going to do with a bat?
Let's see. I saw a hawk, a falcon, bird of prey pick up one of our chickens and try to fly away with it. That was pretty amazing. That was more like, that one got me the most that was one of the most impressive ones, because when that bird flapped his wings twice and tried to pick up that chicken, it was like, oh my God. That's,
well, then you just think, poor chickens, there are
monsters from the sky.
I know. Then we realized that's why they keep hiding out in the outdoor kitchen undercover. We thought it was like rain or weather or wind. No. They're being picked off one by one from the sky. So that was a good one.
One of our first summers, one evening, we heard a bunch of barking dogs, and out of the backwoods come a pack of
Marami. I can never say it right either.
Word. the big fluffy white livestock, they're not hers. They're guard dogs.
You're right.
Livestock guard dogs. About 8 or 10 of them. Like the whole, the mama, the papa, the whole thing.
It was eerie.
It was weird. They all came up and started barking, and we started banging like pots and pans and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, they got loose from now, and we know whose pack they are. They live at a place up on top of, at the beginning of the valley up top.
But they made some serious distance.
They did make some serious distance, and they are when they're puppies, they're gorgeous puppies. They are
like look little fluff balls.
Yeah, they look like polar, like baby polar mm-hmm. bears. It's just two black eyes and a black nose and white, and then they grow up to be fluffy monsters.
Terrifying.
They're terrifying.
They're the same group live herd or what do you call it?
Bronco, a pack.
Pack, thank you. That live up on this hill. Sometimes I will be nervous to drive through. Like no, if I've, because they come in and surround the car.
They're more bark than bite, those dogs.
True. But if you do come upon them,
just turn around and walk away. They don't chase you. They want to guard the livestock, and they want to guard. If you just continue walking and don't make eye contact, like either turn around and walk away or walk at a 45 away from them, they're fine. They don't run you down and eat you. Their bark is impressive, though.
I remember one time coming back from the neighbor's house. Carolyn and Luke's down the road, and there's a part where it's in the summer. The windows are down, and there's the trees are covering over the road, and it's all so pretty. And all of a sudden, whoosh, on the windshield, flops this. I don't know how big it was, but we're going to call it a huge snake. And I was like, ah! And all of a sudden, what did I first do? The worst thing you could possibly do. I hit the windshield wipers. And then my next flash thought moment was, oh my God, what if they find me at the bottom of the ravine? A snake bites and was strangled by a snake because I hit the windshield wipers and I brought it into the car myself. Because the windows were down and I thought, oh my God. That one freaked me out because thankfully that it slid off the car. It was no harm, no foul, but it really freaked me out.
I've seen a lot. Yeah, I've seen a lot going down the road. I've been buzzed by owls and all that kind of stuff.
You saw them in the morning.
This was many years. Well, every year all the locals talk about there's wolves. There are a pack of wolves and they're destroying wildlife everywhere. Did you hear the pack of wolves? Did you hear about there's wolves?
On account of the wolves.
We don't go out at night on account of the wolves. Never saw a wolf in all the years that I heard all the bar chit chat about it, except one morning. Goddamn, going in the autumn, going at 7:30 in the morning, hauling ass down the road, trying to get to the grocery store because I have a cooking class, and I see a pack of what look like from afar German shepherds, same coloring, kind of same look. I thought, what the hell are six or seven German shepherds doing out here? And then as I get closer up to them, it's like, whoa, those are skinny, tall German shepherds. And then I stop the car because they all are looking at me. And I thought, oh, shit, there's the pack of wolves. And that is only – we are a kilometer away from the house. So
they were living on the hill, Monte Rapido.
Yeah, they would howl at night. We would hear them.
I thought we would get kidnapped by them, possibly. Like, because
like Little Red Riding Hood.
100%. Because during that time, we would go back and forth during the winter between the main house and our little house a lot. And I always thought the smells of the kitchen and bringing the food back and forth was going to attract them. And that they were going to try to pick me off one by one as I'm, like, walking over to our place. And I mentioned it to someone locally, and they thought it was hilarious because they said they'll never get that close. We're way too loud to the house.
That's true.
But
wrapping it up, fun ones, like one year we had a porcupine who would come by and walk along the fence, the bush line every night between 7:45 and 8. It was hysterical. I'd go out there every night, come on, get out of here.
His big butt.
And he'd walk along the bushes into the night and kind of take off. Lots of bugs and critters and crawlers.
One of my favorites was a freak out of going down to the chicken coop. This was a year or two ago. And seeing one of the hens like in a weird position as I got closer, and I thought, what's going on? This is really weird. And then realized, oh, fantastic. Start the day with a headless hen.
Oh, yeah, weasel.
But then I was like, oh, my God, what's going on? She's in the inner coop. How did this happen? So I get the other chickens out, and I'm terrified to go in there because it's like something ate the head off of this hen, and it's in here. And so all the other hens scooted out, and then I'm like sneaking around, and then there's not much space. There's nowhere for it to really be. And then I look between, there's this one little part where there's the brick wall and then the fence on the outside and a little bit of space. And sure enough, I look down and these two big fucking eyes are looking up at me. And I was like, holy shit. And because I didn't know if it would jump and spring at me or what. And I run inside. And I'm like, Jason. And I locked it in there. And then this is where the story gets hilarious. Because, oh, wait, this was before we were citizens and you couldn't have a gun. Well, you couldn't have like proper bullets and all of this. And we just had an air rifle. And Jason took it down there and was trying so hard to shoot it. And it was just, it took like 100.
That won't kill a weasel.
No. And you're doing it through the fence because you didn't want to go in there either.
I had no idea how to get this weasel out of here. I'm not going to let it eat the rest of my chickens. I'm not going in there and picking it up, relocating it. I'm relocating it to hell. It ate two chicken heads.
No, that one was hilarious. Lately, we've had some dead animal encounters with Leroy, and he's got a little something called Stolen Valor.
Leroy likes to find things and then claim them as he was the one who made the kill.
Supposedly, them wolves are back, and there's been some dead deer out, and he's found some different body parts on these walks.
He will come across the carcass of the animal that has been mauled by a pack of wolves.
And then also, P.S., what's been left behind by every other passing
predator. Yeah, no other animals. No one else wants this stuff. He found a hoof the other day, like the, and he prances around with that thing like he made the kill.
He's like, ta-da.
Meanwhile, when we go on our walks, we see four deer 100 meters away eating. He watches them bounce away and then hides behind me. Once they bounce away, then he gets all excited like he's a tough guy and follows the smell. Yeah.
I saw him freak out because a bush brushed up against him weird on a walk. Like, he's not the...
It's the...
It's the studio tough guy attitude that's hilarious. Yeah,
and it's just hysterical because he's a gigantic dog. So it's just kind of the... I don't know what the word is. It's 8:15 and my brain is melting. Well, I think we've gone on and
I think
and
so
on.
Too. That was fun. Should we talk with an NPR voice?
All right, next thing coming up, we have just a few more days. No, I don't even want to tell you how many days. If you saw the state of this house and I told you how many days there were until first guests are paying
guests. The first guest could be listening. It's doing great, guys. We're doing great.
We have a lot of work. We don't have an hour to sit on our ass and talk into microphones, yet we have. And thank you very much for listening. Do you have anything else to say? Because I got to go close up mine.
Check out the website for the Taste of La Marque 3-night workshop. We have a couple dates left at the end of July and mid-August. If anyone is interested, we'd love to have you come out.
Very good. Thank you for listening and have a great week.
Ciao, ciao.